Okay, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. And before we start, we'll just pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you that we are here, Lord, to hear from you today. Lord, I would ask that you would help me to bring your word and try to do so in a clear manner, Lord, that everybody would be able to understand. Lord, I pray that you would empower those words. And Lord, that you would speak to each one of us through your word. Lord, we do thank you that we have your word as a guide to our lives, as a comfort to our needs, and a rock for us to stand on. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless it to us this morning. Amen. All right, Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." In some cases, it might say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, etc. Now, before I tell you what we're going to be studying in particular to do with the fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to give you a scenario which we will be coming back to every now and then. This is just to try and make it practical so that, you know, we can all get a good understanding of what we're trying to live up to. Now, this is a Monday morning. It's not a typical Monday morning. It's one of them really bad Monday mornings. You know, the ones where, you know, your alarm doesn't go off because maybe you've just forgot to set it. But, you know, your alarm doesn't go off, so you're up late. So, you know, you've lost time there. Everything after that just seems to go wrong. You get dressed, you run down the stairs, you have your breakfast. You drop food on what you're wearing, so you have to run upstairs, get changed again. More time lost. So, you're ready now. You get down to the car, put the key in the ignition, turn it, nothing happens, the battery's dead. More time lost. Do you feel your blood pressure rising? No? Okay. You will in a minute. So, you're driving and you think you're going to have a clear shot to work, but you get stuck behind somebody who clearly doesn't realise Sunday was yesterday. It's now Monday. All right, and you're driving along this road. There's no safe overtaking place, so you're literally stuck. Now do you feel your blood pressure rising? No? Okay, so you hit every red light on the way to work. And, you know, this is not a good start to your Monday, is it? Okay, so the traffic lights hate you. They see you coming, they turn red, there's more time lost. You eventually get to work. You have the worst day at work ever. Because you're already late, your boss has a go at you. And then, you know, you may be working customer services and everything's your fault. So, you know, you have a bad day. Praise God, 5 o'clock comes. Home time. Yippee! Put an end to the badness of the day while you're sitting in rush hour traffic going nowhere. Eventually, by the time you get home, you've just about reached your limit. Yeah? You go in the house, your spouse says something, you snap at your spouse or your kids, kick the dog because of your frustration. And really, you shouldn't kick dogs, all right? Honestly, you shouldn't kick dogs just because you're frustrated. That's cruelty to animals. Cats, you can get away with, that's fine. Kick the cat, you know, that's no problem. So anyway, you kick the dog in frustration. Eventually, you calm down. You calm down. But then you begin to beat yourself up because of your behaviour throughout the day. And then you ask yourself why you keep losing the plot when things happen. When, let's say, not exactly huge, immense things have happened, but just when an accumulation of small things happen. Why do you keep losing the plot? You ask yourself. And then in your prayers, you ask God this question. Lord, why haven't you changed me? Why haven't you taken this lack of this anger and this frustration and these feelings that I get? Why haven't you dealt with that? And you maybe blame God a little bit because, you know, you're a Christian and God's supposed to change everything in your life. Now, if I was to ask you, which of the fruit of the Spirit you think we'll be looking at today, what would you say? Not those, not you two, because you know. Anybody? Patience. Is that what you're saying? Yeah? That is exactly what we'd be looking at. Patience. And what we'll do is we'll flip back to this scenario every now and then and see where we need to exercise patience. So, yeah. So, today we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit, patience. But let's have a look what patience actually looks like before we see which areas we need to exercise it. Now, I'm going to give you a definition of patience. And patience is man's endurance to face with the adversities of life. Patience is enduring under injuries inflicted by others, not just physical injuries. We're not just talking about somebody punching you in the face. We're talking about emotional injuries or, you know, that kind of thing, psychological injuries. Patience is restraining an action or an emotion. You know, when you want to blow your lid and get really angry, if you have patience, then you refrain from doing so. Patience is holding up under difficult circumstances. It involves holding back from retaliation against someone who's harmed us. Now, the version of the word used in Galatians 5:22 gives us a picture of long-suffering. And long-suffering is a person in relation to the people that annoy or oppose him. He exercises patience. He refuses to yield to passions, to outbursts of anger. And patience is an even-tempered person. Someone who is patient is of even temper. And it comes from having a big heart. You know, it's not a case of gritting your teeth. Yeah, it's not a case of, you know, yeah, all right, I'll put up with it. It's not a case of gritting your teeth and having that kind of angry endurance. No, it's loving tolerance. Yeah, in spite of people's wickedness and failures. And it's a result of love, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 13:4 tells us that love is patient. And that's what we must be as Christians. So let's have a look at the areas where we need to exercise patience. Now, if you're taking notes, I'll just highlight all of them first, and then we'll pick them apart. Areas in which we should exercise patience. We should exercise patience in our problems or trials. Two, we should exercise patience with people. Three, we should exercise patience with ourselves. And four, we should exercise patience with God and God's plans. Now, whenever you eat something, it's good to exercise, you know, because otherwise, if you just keep eating and eating, no exercise whatsoever, you get big belly syndrome. And you exercise to stay in shape, don't you? As far as patience is concerned, it doesn't do us no good unless we exercise it. Yeah, we need to exercise patience so that, you know, as we exercise our patience, when another scenario comes up, it becomes easier and easier. It's like when you're training, when you first start training, yeah, and you say, right, I'm going to go and do a 5 mile run, all right? You can't really do a 5 mile run. So you run around the block and come back to your house. But eventually, you do your 5 mile run. And then you actually think, do you know what? I can run a bit further. And you go that little bit extra. And that's what happens when we exercise the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. As we use them, as we exercise them, we become better in doing so. So that is why we need to exercise patience in our lives. Now, let's have a look at the first thing. Exercising patience in problems or trials. Now, if we're talking about our scenario, we're talking about the car not starting, we're talking about hitting every red light, and we're talking about having a really bad day at work, aren't we? Those are the things that we're talking about. Now, the question is how do you face problems? It can be very difficult when problems come our way. You know, we don't always have the answers. We don't always have the answers, but we want to have the answers and we want to have an instant solution. You know what, we're in this kind of society where everything needs to be fixed straight away. And we want to have answers and we want to have everything sorted. But sometimes it's not going to happen that way, you know, and we get impatient. And when we get impatient, that's when we start to make mistakes. And those mistakes can be very, very costly. We don't always understand why we face the problems. But a lot of the time, there is a reason for it. We might not understand the reason, but God understands the reason for it. Instead of getting angry when we face our problems, instead of getting angry with God when we face our problems, we need to be thankful for the opportunity for our faith to grow. Yeah. When you face problems and you're sowing patience, you don't always look for the easy answer. That is the fact of the matter. You don't always look for the easy answer. Proverbs 14:29 says this: whoever is patient, whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick tempered displays folly. When we allow our emotions to get out of control, we make bad choices. Yeah, so we need to exercise patience when we're going through our trials. Now, to make it a little bit real to you, I'll give you a scenario that I'm going through. Now, I don't want you to feel sorry for me, because I don't need pity. Your love, yes, I need. Encouragement, yes, I need. Pity, no, because I have a big God. Now, before Christmas, my work has been, I have been working, but I haven't been paid regular. And it would be a case of, I'm supposed to be paid weekly, Sometimes I'd get paid after 2 weeks, sometimes I'd get paid after 3 weeks. So that's the situation I've been in. And all the time since then, November, December, this has been the pattern. And sometimes it's hard, but I've had to be patient. Because if I was to worry or allow my emotions to get the better of me, like some of the guys at work wanted to lynch my boss. And some of the guys at work left taking stuff that didn't belong to them. If I allowed myself to feel that way, it would have a very negative impact on my life. It would be doing me no good. It wouldn't make me feel at peace. I wouldn't have any joy. The situation has gotten worse because I haven't been paid for quite some time now, about 5 weeks, and where my next money's going to come from, I don't know. Whether the liquidators come in this week or however long it takes. Like I said, I'm not after any sympathy. I'm not after any cash injections or anything like that. But this is my situation. I'm just trying to make it real to you. And I'm just saying, listen, this is a situation where I need to be able to exercise patience, you know, rather than start snapping people's heads off, you know, just over saying, you know, one silly little thing or what have you, because of what I'm going through at the time. So, yeah, this is me just trying to explain to you, you know, this could be a situation which you might have been in or that you might end up having to face. The economic market that, you know, out there right now isn't good, so. But we need to have patience in our circumstances. We need to endure in our circumstances and not to blame God and not to allow our emotions to take control. Right, the second area we need to exercise patience is with people. Now, we're talking about, in our little scenario, the Sunday driver on a Monday and the snapping at spouse or children and the kicking of the dog. Don't kick the dog. But we need to exercise patience with people. Now, if I was to ask you, have you ever lost your patience with a person? Most of you would have to say yes. Most of you would have to say yes. And it's easy to fly off the handle at a person, isn't it? When people interrupt you sometimes, or if they give us negative criticism, or if they speak harsh words towards us, we want to get back at them as soon as possible. And the most times we tend to lack patience is with those who are closest to us for some reason. It's like in our scenario, the person goes home and has had a really bad day, and the person who gets the brunt of that is the spouse and the children. You know? It's those are the people that tend to suffer the most from our lack of patience. We, for some reason, think it's okay to hurt those that we love, especially when it comes to husbands, wives, and children. You know, the very intimate family. We tend to think, oh, it's okay. They'll get over it. We apologise, but they'll get over it. But it's not okay. It's not okay. We need to exercise patience at all times with all people. Ephesians 4:1-2. says this: as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So we're to be patient with one another. You know, even not just in the family situation, but also, here we go, church family. We need to be patient with one another. We're not to return evil for evil. And 1 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9 says this: finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Now, instead of getting angry with people, we need to pray. We need to pray for them, but we also need to pray for ourselves, that we would have patience and understanding, that God would work not just in their lives, but God would work in our lives as well, that God would help us to show forbearance and humility and gentleness. So far, we've seen what patience looks like. We've defined it. We've seen that we need to exercise patience in our problems or in our trials. We've seen that we need to have patience with others. We need to exercise patience with others. Now, the next area we need to exercise patience with is ourselves. Now, this is referring back to our scenario. After you've calmed down, after you finish shouting at the wife and kids and kicking a dog, and you've calmed down, you then reflect on your behaviour during the day, or what you've done in the evening since you've gotten home, and you start to beat yourself up. You know, you're like, why am I like this? Why do I keep doing it? You know, listen, God is patient with us. God is patient with us, so we must be patient with ourselves. Many times we struggle with sin, and we get discouraged. And we get discouraged with ourselves to the point of wanting to give up. Who's ever felt like they wanted to give up? Yeah? Sometimes that's how discouraged we get, and sometimes we beat ourselves up. Why? Because we're not going to be perfect overnight. And sometimes we expect too much too soon. And sometimes we need to just have a bit of patience for ourselves. Like, the sanctification process isn't called the sanctification instant. It's a process. It's something that is worked through. There's no shortcuts to holiness. There's no shortcuts. Now, did you realise Thomas Edison took over 3,000 attempts before finding the effective filament for a light bulb? 3,000 attempts. Wow, that's some patience. What if he decided to stop at 2,999? Ah, I can't do this anymore. You know, we would have no light bulbs. He didn't quit. He kept on. Now, that's what patience is. The ability to keep on when we need to. It's to keep on keeping on. James 1, verses 2 to 4 says this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You need to give yourself a chance to grow in this area. Be patient with yourself. You're not going to be perfect overnight. You're not going to be perfect every time. But there's a balance. You know, we want to be getting better at showing all the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We want to be getting better at that. But we're not going to be perfect. Let's not disillusion ourselves. Let's not beat ourselves up too much when we fail. But let's get on our knees and pray and ask for God's help when we do. Okay, so the fourth area in which we can exercise patience is with God's plan. Now, who's seen the latest version of Robin Hood with Russell Crowe? Anyone? Yeah? I like that film. I thought it was a pretty good film. Now, Robin Longstride, this is Russell Crowe's character, they was fighting in France, and they decided, right, enough's enough, we're leaving the army. Meanwhile, the king's been killed, and they're on their way back to England, and they come across some knights who were taking the king's crown back to London. Now, this knight had was dying, and he says to Robin Longstride, "Please take this sword back to my father in Nottingham. I took it without his permission." You know, and he wanted to repair the relationship with his father. So this Robin Longstride decided, yes, he was going to do this. He'd done his business in London with the crown, give it to the queen and all the rest of it. Right, that bit done. Goes off to Nottingham. By the way, he couldn't do a northern accent. Russell Crowe cannot do a northern accent. Anyway, so he goes off to Nottingham, meets Marion, goes back to Marion's home and the Lord of the Manor, gives the sword back to the father that it belonged to. Now, father, to cut a long story short, the father knew stuff about this Robin Longstride that this Robin Longstride didn't realise about himself. As far as Robin Longstride was concerned, he'd been abandoned as a child, but he didn't remember that his father had been killed and all the rest of it, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, to cut an even longer story short, Robin Longstride found out that he knew where this particular document was that lords had signed and what have you, that was supposed to be handed to the king, and the king was going to be all nice and lovey-dovey with the people, etc., etc. So Robin goes and does this. He then helps to defend the country from the French and lives happily ever after in tights in the forest. All right? Now, from when he took that sword and felt compelled to take it to Nottingham, he didn't know what he was going to be learning. He didn't know what he was going to find out about himself. And do you know what? God sometimes asks things of us that we don't understand. But he promises rewards for those who are faithful. We can't always understand why God thinks certain actions are important. He simply asks us to do them. No? To be obedient and to persevere. Sometimes the faithfulness must extend even beyond our ability to see over the promises or rewards that we're going to get here on earth. I remember when I was last in Romania. All right. I don't know what the guy's name was. I can't remember what his name was. It was Romanian. But I was feeling very disappointed because I've been going 3 years, I haven't seen any conversions, and, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going out to evangelize on the street again. And I was getting really frustrated and disappointed. It was beginning to rain, and we was just about to turn back to go back to the house. And this guy came running across the road, shouting my name. And he had remembered me from the previous year. And he said, I want to know God. I want you to pray with me. And I'm like, do you know what? If you really want to know God, you can do this by yourself. You go and pray. You go and seek God. Because at that time, I was feeling very skeptical. But he was adamant that he wanted me to stand and pray with him. So we did. And, you know, I'd been asking myself, God, why do you keep sending me here? Why, you know, am I still coming? Maybe it was for that, just that one person. We don't see the full picture. We don't see the full picture. So we need to have patience with God's plans. It's like, we can't see the end, but God can. So not only do we need to have patience in our circumstances, in our problems, with others, with ourselves, we need to exercise patience with God's plans. He knows what we're going through, why we're going through things, and why we face difficulties. Why we face difficult people, you know. God knows. And it's all about refining us and changing us into the image of his son. So, we've looked at those things. Last couple of things I want to look at is how we grow the fruit of patience in our lives. It's cultivating the fruit of patience in our lives. And we'll need to do a couple of things. First of all, lots of prayer. We'll need to pray a lot. Do you know what? God says that if we pray in accordance to his will, it will be ours. God wants us to be patient, doesn't he? It's according to his will. Why not? Let's pray. Lord, help me to be more patient. Help me to be more patient with others. Help me, Lord, not to worry too deeply in my circumstances. You know, when we come to a situation, let's pray. You know, Lord, help that Sunday driver to put their foot down. Just but you know what I mean, though, don't you? Rather than losing the plot, losing patience, we can pray. Because when you're praying, you're having communion with God. And you're going to have more of a godly influence in your decision making if you pray than if you just let your emotions take control. So we can pray. Lots of prayer. The other way that we can help patience to grow in our lives is we allow the Spirit of God within us to exercise control of us. Now, the key to having the fruit of the Spirit grow within us is to allow more of God and less of us. In other words, we put God in the right place. Yeah, we put God on the throne of our hearts rather than putting ourselves on the throne of our hearts. Yeah? I'm not talking about some kind of mysticism. I'm not talking about what Brian last week when he said about let go and let God. I'm not talking about that, anything like that. I'm talking about we just let God have more control of us as we abide in him, as we read his word, as we try to be obedient. The more we allow God to have control of us, the more we'll enjoy the blessings, the more we'll enjoy the fruit that comes from letting the Lord have control of us. That's when the fruit of the Spirit is going to grow within us. So, we've seen today what patience actually looks like. It's forbearance, long-suffering. We've seen what patience, we need to have patience in our problems, in our trials. We've seen that we need to have patience with others, you know, especially those who are close with us, the ones that we tend to snap at most. We also saw with others that, you know, even like as a church family, we need to be patient with one another, as God tells us. We've seen that we need to be patient with ourselves. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect. Not even me. And we won't be perfect until the day of the Lord comes. And that's a fact. But until that day, we can try to live our lives in a manner that is glorifying to God as best we can. But know this, we are going to fail at times. And when we do fail, let's not just beat ourselves up and lose patience with ourselves, but know that God, who began a good work in us, is faithful and will complete that work. We've seen that we need to have patience with God's plan because we don't see the big picture. And God does. He knows why he allows us to go through circumstances. He knows why he allows certain people to rub us up the wrong way. We might not see right now. We might not see the rewards right now. But we definitely see the rewards in heaven. And we've also looked at cultivating patience in our lives by praying. Praying when we are entering a situation. And just praying in general, because it's the will of God that this is something that we have. In conclusion then, patience is a fruit of the Spirit that can be a blessing to us and to those who spend time with us. And patience is allowing God to do what he says he's going to do. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you, Lord. We thank you for your patience towards us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that with your patience towards us, you even gave your Son for us, Lord, that we might be saved through him. And Lord, we know that as your children, you expect us to be imitators of Jesus Christ. You expect us to live in a way that is glorifying to you. And Lord, we would ask that you would help us to do so. Lord, we know and understand that we're not perfect and that we will fail time and time again. But we do thank you, Lord, that you are faithful God, that you will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. Lord, help us to have patience. Help us to have patience with one another, Lord, that as a Christian body, that we would exercise forbearance, that no harsh words would come from our lips towards another. That we wouldn't repay evil for evil, but we would just bestow blessings upon others, Lord. And in our circumstances, Lord, help us to trust upon you, knowing that you have everything in control, that you are the sovereign Lord of the universe, and that nothing that comes into our lives does so unless it's filtered through your hands. Lord, we do thank you for this study this morning. And we pray, Lord, you help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.